The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 6th through Sunday, April 12th, 2026. The commentary for April was written by Katie Nakamura. She is an Episcopal priest in the Diocese of Alabama and has served in a variety of church contexts, most recently as the presiding bishop's staff officer for church planning. She can often be found with her running group, playing the flute and singing, or spending time with her husband and her two daughters. The commentary for Monday, April 6th, a Monday in Easter week, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. I have seen is one of the most powerful statements a Christian can utter. These three words have revealed dreams, uncovered atrocities, told hard truths, and offered hope to a bewildered world. In my ministry, I have seen a man living in a park be reconciled to his wife and children. I have seen how difficult it is for a person in homelessness to get a stable job when they lack a reliable phone number and an ID. I have witnessed gentle, loving humor break down race and class barriers. I have seen a man who thought he would die alone end his days surrounded by a loving church family. I have seen new life and possibility emerge where all hope had been lost. In Acts, Peter, once so doubtful and afraid that he denied knowing Jesus, can now confidently proclaim the gospel because he has seen the resurrection. Evangelism isn't about telling others what to believe. It's about proclaiming out loud what we have seen and what we have witnessed. Now I'll read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 14, and verses 22b through 32. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. And the moving forward question for this Monday, April 6th, is what have you seen that might give someone else joy and hope? Go tell it. Now the commentary for Tuesday, April 7th, the Tuesday in Easter week. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 12. And Mary saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. In the Gospels of Mark and Matthew, only one angel sits at the empty tomb. In the Gospels of Luke and John, there are two angels. I find this discrepancy interesting. Why two, when one angel would seem perfectly sufficient to report the good but brief news that Jesus is no longer there? I think of the situations when I ask someone to come with me. It's nice, of course, to have companionship when I know I'm either giving or receiving bad news. But the same is true for strange and good news. My husband came with me to all of my doctor's visits when we were expecting our first child. I invited a trusted friend when I visited the Topaz Relocation Center, where my grandparents had been incarcerated during World War II. We bring my parents to my kids' recitals and school award ceremonies. Good news, and especially the good news of the resurrection, is inherently relational. It must be shared. It is light and also so deep that it sometimes takes two to carry it. And now I'll read today's gospel from John 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, who do you ask to share in the good news? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, April 8th, Wednesday in Easter week. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 4. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." I met Isaac at our church's breakfast ministry. He was in the midst of a midlife crisis that led him to experiment with drugs. As his psychosis worsened, Isaac's nonsensical outbursts started to scare some of our other guests and volunteers. People gave him a wide berth, and the neighboring businesses made complaint after complaint to the local police. The only things that calmed Isaac down were when our volunteers invited him to play Frisbee or when I'd ask him to name the 90s alternative bands we both listened to in high school. Somehow being engaged in these loving, normal ways was soothing. Isaac was eventually arrested and spent a month in a psych unit, detoxing and getting the help he needed. When he returned, well and in his right mind, he thanked us. "Sometimes it's just nice to be seen, you know. I feel like you guys see me." Scripture reminds me that simply seeing God's people as beautiful and worthy is what we're called to do. Miracles and healing can follow later. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And the moving forward statement for this Wednesday, Forward Movement donates tens of thousands of books and copies of Forward Day by Day, the publication I'm reading, to nursing homes and prisons. You can support this ministry if you'd like. Simply go to the ministry at forwardmovement.org. The commentary for Thursday, April 9th, Thursday in Easter week, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 41 to 43. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. While we were watching the BBC's 1995 version of the movie Pride and Prejudice, my father made an observation. "Why don't we ever see Mr. Darcy eat? Everyone else is eating." He was right, and the absence of eating was not only in that movie. Consider other protagonists such as Sherlock Holmes, Bruce Wayne, and James Bond. They never eat on screen. Eating is too messy, too vulnerable, too human. Romantic heroes and secret agents have to keep their suits clean and their teeth free of embarrassing spinach remnants. Otherwise, how could we keep them on their pedestals? How could we keep thinking of them as superhuman? Well, Jesus continues to turn all our expectations upside down. A central point of the gospel is that Jesus is human and shares our experiences, from hunger and thirst to death. To show this to his disciples and us, he does a very simple and very human thing. He eats. And now I'm going to read the full gospel of Luke chapter 24, verses 36b to 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do you have doubts arising in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, Have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And the moving forward comment for this Thursday in Easter week is, share a meal with a neighbor. The commentary for Friday, April 10th, the Friday in Easter week, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 11. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There's little I enjoy more than a bit of sweet vindication. On the admittedly rare occasions my teenager admits, You were right, Mom, I can barely contain my joy. And so my initial superficial reaction to this passage is to pump my fist and think, Yeah, take that, Pharisees. The guy you crucified was right all along. I can't deny that ego plays into this interpretation, and that I am also secretly thinking about times I have felt overlooked and undervalued. Fortunately, the gospel is about much more than vindication or the consequences of misjudging an individual. The resurrection of Jesus is so powerful because it isn't about who is right or who gets the last word. The resurrection is about God's faithfulness, God's absolute commitment to love, forgiveness, and transformation through grace. That the rejected stone has become the cornerstone isn't just sweet vindication for Jesus and his followers. It is a declaration of God's goodness for the whole world. And now I'm going to read this passage from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. The next day their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, By what power, by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers of the people and elders, If we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, it has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. And the moving forward question for this Friday in Easter week is, how can God's grace reshape your response to rejection? The commentary for Saturday, April 8th, Saturday in Easter week, begins with a passage from the book of Psalms, 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. What does aliveness feel like? Aside from having a pulse, what does it really mean to live? Most of us have experienced the paradox of being biologically alive while feeling dead, empty, or complacent on the inside. I suspect that modern life and the way it often rewards isolation, doomsday scrolling, distrust, and reactivity stifles the fullness of living. The psalmist offers everything they have to God, their life, their fear, and their reputation. They realize with joy that God intends for them to live, even in the midst of challenges and opposition. They go on to say that one of the fruits of aliveness is to declare the works of the Lord. To do this, we must openly receive the many gifts of God, the challenges, the painful growth, the beauty of creation, the people who surround us, the wonder of transformation. Aliveness is a choice. It is leaning into our divine createdness and exercising God's gifts of curiosity, creativity, and imagination. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 118, verses 19 through 24. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the moving forward question for this Saturday in Easter week, in what ways do you declare the works of the Lord? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this first week of Easter, let us turn to the commentary for Sunday, April 12th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 25. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." As an American, I notice that I live in an increasingly disembodied culture. Most of us have little connection to the sources of our food. Social media can help us form and maintain relationships, but I have never even met in person half of my Facebook friends. We distance ourselves from the natural processes of sickness, old age, and death. None of this is wrong in and of itself, but I wonder if, like Thomas, we may be missing out on the opportunity to touch Jesus when we so seldom touch one another. Thomas names out loud his desire to touch Jesus. Physical contact will allow him to connect with the friend he is grieving and allow him to believe that resurrection is possible. Today, I encourage you to leave what is comfortable and reach out to another human being. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage here from John 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. And the moving forward suggestion for this Sunday, April 12th, the second Sunday in the Easter season: stop scrolling online and make time for an in-person chat. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.